Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Lamed Dalet. We begin about 8 lines from the top, Lamed Dalet Omer Aleph. We begin a brand new discussion, albeit it's related to the previous discussion we had from yesterday. The Gemara starts off and says, Abaya Bar Oven, Rav Hananya Bar Oven, these two great Tamidei Chachamim, they're brothers, they're both the children of Rav Oven, they were learning Tanu Trumos Bei Rabba. They were learning Masech de Trumos by the great house, the great Bedrash of Rabba. Now, Paul Gabahu, Rava Bar Masna. Rava Bar Masna met up with them, and he said to them, Amalahu, Mayam Risu Bitrumos Devei Mar. Nu, what good chidushim have you learned regarding Masech de Trumos when you're learning at the house of the master, when you're learning by Rabba? So Amulei, so the two brothers, Abaye Bar Oven and Rav Hananya Bar Oven, tell him, "Nu, what are you interested in learning? I mean, Masechta Trumos is a huge Masechta. So Amulei, my kashuloch, what's bothering you that you might want us to discuss with you?" So Amalehu, so he told them, Rava Bar Masna said to them, "There's something that bothers me in this Masechta. Tanan, we learned there in the Mishnah in Trumos, it says as follows, that if a person plants Shisile Trumos, plantings of truma. A person has truma that was tolush, that was detached from the ground, that shenitmu, that became tame, and now ushisolin, and he replants them into the ground again. So what is their status? So the Mishnah says, tohorim militame. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. Rashi and the Bach both say that the girsa should be tohoru militame, that they no longer can go and be metame something else. As Rashi points out, acherim, they can't be metame something else. Shechibruron lekarka, that their attachment now to the ground, they're replanting the ground, botlon mitores ochel, removes them from the status of being an ochel, and therefore they can't have the ability, something that's not an ochel, doesn't have the ability to become tame. Either keli or an ochel can become tame. This is no longer an ochel. That's the din that we learned in the Mishnah. Tohorim milatame is the gear. So we have a toru milatame, Vasur milecho, and likewise they can't be eaten. We delete the word betruma because we say, Rashi points out, because so kedaitach mishum tuma b'lekohanim. The assumption here that he's making is that this is tame still and can't even be eaten by kohanim. So the Gemara asks, Rava Bar Masna asked, v'chimi acher de tohori milatami, if they no longer are capable of being mitami something else, so am I asur milecho? So why can't they be eaten? Why can't they kohen go and eat these plantings if they were to be uprooted? Now, why should they be considered like truma tmeya when they no longer have the ability to be metami something else, so they no longer should be tami themselves, and a kohen should be able to eat them? So what did these two brothers say? Abaya Bar Oven and Rav Hananya Bar Oven, they respond. Amrulei, they said back to Rav Bar Masna, Hochi Omer Rabba. This is what we learned in the Beis Medrash of Rabba. When it says, Asurin, my Asurin, when it says over here, Asur Milechol, it doesn't mean for Kohanim, it means Asurin Lazar. It means nobody is allowed to go and eat them. Who's Lazar? Because they're Truma. But a Kohen could go and eat it, because the Truma has left, and therefore a Kohen is allowed to eat the Truma that is now Tahora. So when it said Asur Milecho, it was only talking about a non-Kohen, a Zar. That's how Rabba, in his base Medrash, touched up this Mishnah. But Rava, Bar Masna, wasn't happy with this. He says, Umayko Mashalon, why do you learn it this way? If you're telling me over here, the Chiddush is that Gidulei Truma is Truma, that the growths that are planted that used to be Truma, when they're planted, they retain the Truma status, they lose the Tuma status by being planted, but they retain the Truma status, so then Tanina, that we already learned in a Mishnah. Another Mishnah in Truma has already taught us that. Why would this Mishnah repeat it? So that can't be the reason, because the Mishnah said Gidulei Truma, Truma. We've already learned in a Mishnah in Trumos that if you plant growths of truma, so the resulting new growths are also called truma. So what's your chiddush then? You want to tell me that this is telling me that even the next step, v'chitemo gidule gidulon. You want to tell me that the growths of growths, as Rashi says, that if a person were to go and put this into the ground, and you want to tell me that the growths of the growths are going to be asur? So Rashi in Dibur Masal Chitema says, "Hai asurim milecho bedover she'ein zaro kila." If you're dealing here with something where the seed isn't destroyed, so Ka'amar could go on bitzolim, like you have bitzolim dakim, these small little onions, shekorin tzibush, it's a certain foreign word, ukishes shoshlim achas achas levada, when you plant them one by one, hey no sophos, they grow mumischabros shisha v'dalad yachad. They grow many of them together, but the original seeds are still there. And this is called V'hainu Gidule Gidulon. So the growths to come from them, so these are called Gidule Gidulon. So also in Hanusafos, those extra growths to come about, Alein Shalohayu Truma Meyolim, they never were Truma, so you might have thought that they are not Truma. So this Chiddush over here in this Mishnah is to tell us that the Gidule Gidulon are in fact Aser also. Or Rashi says, for example, if you have Kruv, you have some sort of cabbage, shehochin marchivin ha'alun harishonim, that the original growths are now growing more. Ubadim hachadoshim ha'olim bekelach have a gidule gidulim, and the additional growths that come from the stalk, that's the gidule gidulim, not the original thing that was planted. But any additional growths that grow, so this is gidule gidulin. So if you want to tell me that that's the chiddush of this Mishnah, well, Michael Mashallah, why do you need that to tell me it? B'dovah shein zarukola, if it's something where the seed is not destroyed, the original seed is still there, so then tanina also, we've already learned that's also hanami tanina, we learned that. Because the Mishnah in Trumos also tells us, hatevel gidulov mutarim, that if you plant tevel, so the gidulim are considered permissible, unless that's bedavar only shezaru kala, if the original seed that you planted of tevel is destroyed. Aval bedavar she'ein zaru kala, if you have the original seed that is not destroyed, such as these bulbs from the onion, so then afilu gidule gidulin asurin biachila. Then these additional bulbs that grow, the additional gidule gidulin, they are also considered asur. So again, why would you need Rabbah to tell us that that's what this Mishnah in Trumos is telling us, that it's also milecho by a non-Kohen, a Zar, but it's mutter for a Kohen? We've already learned that in two other Mishnayos there. So therefore, they were stumped. So Abaya and Rav Chananya, both the sons of Rav Avin, they didn't have an answer. So Ishtiku, so they were silent. They didn't know what to answer to Rava Bar Masna. So Amulei, they said to him, no, maybe you have an answer. Midi Shmiel Loch Bahat, maybe you know an answer to this question. You asked it to us, and you want to see what Rabbi had said, so we obviously don't have a good answer. So what do you think is the answer? So Amulei, so Rava Bar Masna tells them, Hoch Yom Rav Sheshes, when I learned this, so Rav Sheshes taught us, my Asurim, when it says over here that it means Asurin, Asurin Lechol, it doesn't mean for Azor. It doesn't mean that this is Truma and a Zor can't eat it, but a Kohen could eat it. It means Asurin LeKohanim. Even a Kohen can't eat this Truma over here, because even though it's not Temeya, it is now Truma Tahora, nevertheless a Kohen can't eat it. Why? Hoel v'ifsilu luhu behesech hadas. Because when you plant it into the ground, you underwent what we call hesech hadas. As Rashi points out, in Dibra Masku behesech hadas, kishenitmu mitchila, when you became tame, a person put it out of his mind. He says, I no longer can eat this. He's siach dai to mehem. Shuv mi lushomron. He's no longer watching it. And that in and of itself is a psul. V'nif solin behesach adas. D'chsiv gabi truma, es mishmeres trumo soy. Ovid le shimur, v'lo sasiach daitcha. The truma must always be watched. You can't ever lose track of it. And by definition, when you lose track of it, it's no longer able to be eaten by a kohen. And the Gemara will discuss exactly why that is so right now. There's two possibilities why this Hesach Hadas should make it also. But for right now, Rav Marasa said, the reason why Kohen can't eat it is because even though it's not Tomei anymore, there was a Hesach Hadas. Now the Gemara says, exactly what do you mean by this Hesach Hadas? So there's two possible understandings of Hesach Hadas. One is that it means that there's an intrinsic psul, what we call a psul in the guf, called Hesach Hadas, that makes this Truma no good. And the other one is, no, that Hesach Hadas is that you weren't watching it, so maybe it became Tomei. Maybe it didn't become Tomei, and that's called a psul of Tumah, a potential psul of Tumah. So the Gemara now says, Hanichol Leman D'Yomer, this understanding of Rav Bar Masna, that the Truma that was planted can't be eaten because of Hesach Hadas, that works out great. Hanichol Leman D'Yomer, Hesach Hadas, psul haguf hevi, that it's an intrinsic psul called Hesach Hadas. This is as if it has Tuma to it, but it doesn't have Tuma to it. It has Hesach Hadas to it. It's an intrinsic psul that makes Truma not be able to be eaten, even though it's not Tomei, because it lost its Tuma status, but it has this status called Hesach Hadas, which is like Tuma in that it makes it also for even a Kohen to eat it. So shop it. This works out great. We understand why Rav Bar Masna said this is the answer. The Chiddush over here is that there's this psul called Hesach Hadas that makes this Truma not be able to be eaten, even though it's no longer Tomei. Shop it. Works out great. But according to the other understanding, Elamandi Omar, Hesach Hadas, psul tuma heve. It's a suffix because you don't know, since you weren't watching it, did it become tummy or did it not become tummy? So then, what's the chiddush here? Michael Maymar. So if you knew for a fact that they were tummy, and yet if you planted them, they lose their tumma status, so why should Hesach Hadas, and you weren't watching them once they became tummy, why should Hesach Hadas, maybe they became tummy, maybe they didn't become tummy, why should that be any worse? That should certainly also lose its status of being tummy. If Vadai Truma Tumeya loses its status of being tummy when you plant it, so certainly this Safek status with Hesach Hadas certainly should lose its status. So therefore, according to the opinion that it's a psul of Tumah, this Hesach Hadas, why can't the Kohen eat it? Now, this machlokus, these two different opinions, psul agov versus psul Tumah, is a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Ditma, because we learned the base medish. Hesach Hadas, what is the status of this Hesach Hadas? So Rav Yochanan Mar, the latter. Rav Yochanan says that this is a sofek psul of Tumah. Rav Yochanan Mar, psul tuma heavy. We're concerned with Hesach Hadas. Maybe it became tummy, maybe it didn't become tummy. Under a normal case of Hesach Hadas, we're just not sure what happened to it, so therefore we have to treat it like truma that became tumeya. Rishim Malakish says, no, Rish Lakish says, it's psul agof heavy. Hesach Hadas is its own intrinsic psul. And even if it doesn't become tummy, there's a psul called Hesach Hadas. Now, let's understand this a little bit more. I've already said this outside, but now we'll see it inside. Rav Yochanan Mar, psul tuma heve. Rav Yochanan said that this is a psul of tuma. It's a concern. Maybe it became tummy, maybe it didn't become tummy. Why? Because Shem Yavo Elio, if Elio Navi comes and tells us, no, I can guarantee you that this truma never became tummy, even though you weren't watching it, I know that it didn't become tummy via Tarena, and therefore he says that it's Tahora, therefore Shomenlo, we listen to Eliyahu Novi, and we say that this truma lost its psul of Hesach Hadas, because the only question with Hesach Hadas was, did it or did it not become tummy? And Eliyahu Novi is telling us it definitely did not become tummy. As opposed to, Reish Lakish wouldn't listen to Eliyahu Novi. Reb Shimon Malakish Omer, psul haguf hevi. This is an intrinsic psul called Hesach Hadas. And therefore, even Shem Yavo Eliyahu Vyatarena, even if Eliyahu Novi comes along and says, no, I guarantee you, it didn't become tame, ain't shaman lo. We don't listen to it because it has nothing to do with the facts. It has to do with the intrinsic psul. If you don't watch it, it no longer can be eaten. Regardless of whether it became tame or not, that's irrelevant. According to Reish Lakish, it's the intrinsic psul of Hesach Hadas that makes it no longer able to be eaten. Now, these are the two shitas. Now let's understand this further by the following back and forth between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Eisa, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan asked to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish the following shaila. We learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shmuel, the nosh of Rav Yochanan Broka, Omer, Rabbi Shmuel was the son of Rav Yochanan Broka, he told us the following halacha, that there was a lul katan, there was a little hole. Rashi says, the Ramask lul katan, kimin guma, it's like a hole, Chalula, hollow hole, Asuya bebinyan haritzba, that was in the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see on the southwest corner of where the Kadesh and the Mizbeach met. When you look at the Mizbeach, going, the Kadesh going up to Mizbeach was in a south going towards north orientation. So on the left, on the western side of this, was eventually going to be the Ulam and the Heichal. So there was a space on the southwest where the Kevesh went and met the Mizbeach, that there was this little Lul Katan over there. And that's because on the southwest corner, that's where they used to do the bird Chatos. Now, this Lul Katan Hoya Ben Kevesh LeMizbeach was on the southwest side, right where the Kevesh attaches to the Mizbeach, and the Marovishal Kevesh on the western side of the ramp. Shom Hoyu Zorkin Psule Chatos Ov. They used to do the Chatos Ov. That service was done on the lower part of below the Chut HaSikra. By a normal Chatos of an animal, it's done above the Chut HaSikra. It's done on the Keren, on the four corners of the Mizbeach. The blood is applied. But for the bird offering of a Chatos Ov, it's done below the Chut HaSikra. So that's what they used to do, the blood offering of the Chatos Ov. So, Shoshami Uzarkim Psule Chatasov, and if the Chatasov became puzzled for whatever the reason, that's where they went, and they deposited it over there in this lul, in this hole. As Rashi points out, Dira Maskul Shoshami Uzarkim, Lefi Shinasis, Bekeren Mamaris the Romis, Lamata, the offering was normally brought, as I pointed out, on the lower part, below the Chut HaSikra, of the southwestern wall of the Mizbeach, Ukishiira Psulba, and if something happened to this Chatasov that made it unable to be eaten, Chatasov was able to be eaten by the Kohanim, Sheno Pasul HaGuf, Mamish, there wasn't an actual Psul in the Guf of the Chatasov itself, we'll see in a second in the next Rashi, but The Ein Yochel Lesarfa Miyad Mishum Bizoyin Kachim. They weren't able to go and burn it right away because it hadn't yet had enough of a psul, as we'll see in a second. So no sham. They would place it in this lul, wait till the night was over. It would then be possible because of no sar. It had stayed beyond its time. The Chatasov can only eat for the day that it's brought and the following night. So the next morning, it now definitely has a psul of no sar. Now it has an intrinsic psul in the guf, and you can go and burn it right away. Now note, I said it has now, by no sar, an intrinsic psul in the guf. When something has an intrinsic psul in the guf of the carbon, it's allowed to be burned right away. You don't have to wait till te'ovar tsurasa, until it becomes spoiled, until it becomes no good. Because you're normally not allowed to destroy kachim that are still good. But here it's definitely no good by no sar. That implies, Rav Yochanan is going to be asking Reish Lakish, that until now it didn't have an intrinsic psul in the guf that allowed us to burn it. Notice that intrinsic psul in the guf. Now, so what happened over here? Again, lul katan hoya ben kevesh l'mizbeach, b'marov shel kevesh, sheshami yozorkim psul lechatos ha'ov, u'se'ubar tzuros, and they waited there until its appearance would change. In other words, until it became noser the following morning. Now, the yotzin lebeis ha'sreifa. Now, the following morning, they'll have to go and burn it in the beis ha'sreifa. The korbanos that were no longer able to be eaten had to be burned inside the azara, so they brought it to the beis ha'sreifa in the azara, and they burnt it. Now, if you're telling me that the reason why that this carbon, this psulei achatas, wasn't able to be eaten by the kohanim, is because it was a psul of tuma, mishum hachi boi ibur tzura. If you're telling me there was a suffix over here, did it become tummy, did it not become tummy, that's why they couldn't eat it. There, in this situation, you know what? Along comes Elio, Shema Yavo Elio, basically this will be rebuilt, and Elio comes and he tells us that in fact never became tummy, and the Yitarena, and he'll say that it is edible to be eaten, that's why we don't burn it right away. We have to wait till it comes Nosar the following morning, and then we only burn it then. However, if you're going to tell me, Eliyamris psul haguf, it had an actual psul in the guf itself, lomali ibur tsura, why would you have to wait to burn it? It has an intrinsic psul in the guf, and you should be able to burn it right now. After all, now the gears that we have is vatnan, but it really should be a brice, it says on the side, vatanya, saklal, this is the rule. We turn to the Amud Beis, kol she psulo begufu, anything that has an intrinsic, inherent guf psul, there's something intrinsically wrong with it, you don't have to wait till to ubar tsuras until it becomes no sar. Ella, you sarf miyad, you'll have to burn it right away. Now, when you're dealing with bidam or bibalim, if you're dealing over here, however, with something that's not an intrinsic psul in the guf of the basar, you're dealing, let's say, there's a psul with the dam, the zrika wasn't done properly, or bibalim, or that the balim are nebuch no longer alive. Rashi says, go nitmu balim, the balim have become tummy, but pesel kaim, and they're called pesel, is still there. Vein kaimi shiochlenu, there's nobody there that can go eat this. Vidam, afapisha posel, gomerhu, even though the dam is absolutely intrinsically posel itself, afil hochi, hovein okir boser atzma, the boser itself is not tummy, so boy, ibur, tzura. You have to wait till the following morning, till it's nosar. So in these situations, the dam and the balim, tubar tzurasan. And then, and only then, the Yotzin Lebeis HaSreifa. Now, what do we see again from here? Rav Yochanan is questioning to Reish Lakish, if according to you, something has an intrinsic psul in the guf, it should be able to be burnt right now. If the concern was maybe it became tameh, maybe it didn't become tameh because of Hesech Hadas, so then that, according to you, Reish Lakish, is an intrinsic psul in the guf, and you shouldn't have to wait to Ubar Tzurasan until the following morning when it becomes Nosar. According to me, Rav Yochanan says, everything works out well, because it's only a Safek Tumah, and Safek Tumah, you can't go burn it, because maybe Elio is going to come and tell us it's not really Tameh. So if it's only a Hesach Hadas, and maybe it became Tameh, maybe it didn't, that's why we can't eat it, so we have to wait till Tu'ubat Zerus, until the following morning, because it's not an intrinsic psul in the guf. But according to you, you should be able to burn it right away. How come they have to throw it into this lul, and wait till the following morning, till it's Nosar? And this is really what the Rashi on the bottom of the Omer Aleph tells us. He proves that this is talking about a psul of Hesach Hadas. It can't be talking about an actual psul of Tumah, because that's already been discussed elsewhere. And therefore, the whole thing over here is there a chashash because of the Hesach Hadas that it became Tumah or not? So the Rav Yochanan, that's perfectly good. It's perfectly understandable. You can't go and burn it right now, because maybe it's Tumah, maybe it's not Tumah. That's all that we're concerned about with Hesach Hadas. And if Elio comes along and says that it in fact wasn't Tumah, there is no problem in eating it. But according to you, even if Elio comes and tells us it definitely wasn't Tameh, it has a psul intrinsically called psul haguf of Hesach Hadas. And therefore, you can't eat it no matter what. So how come you can't burn it right away? That is the question that Rav Yochanan asked Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish has a great answer, however. Amalei, Reish Lakish tells Rav Yochanan, Hayitana, the author of this brisa that you brought down in the name of Yishmael, Benosha, Rav Yochanan, Mebroka, that is the following. That is going according to Hayitana, Tona, Devei Rabba, Baravu, Hudiyama. This brisa was taught in the Beis Medrash of Rabba, Baravu, as the following. It says, Afilu Pigul Ton Ibutsura. This brisa goes in accord with the idea that even pigul, which is a vadai psul in the guf, still requires ton ibur tzura. You have to wait till the next morning to go and burn it. So even something which is pigul, which is a true intrinsic psul, nevertheless requires ton ibur tzura. You have to wait till it has nosa, till it has a change in its appearance and it becomes nosa to burn it. So too, hesach hadas, even though there's an intrinsic psul in the guf, you have to wait till the following morning to go and burn it. Rashi points out, interesting, in Dibur Maschil, Tono, the day Rabba Baravua, Ika Milso Lo Yadana Hecha. I don't know where this was actually stated, and in what regard it was stated to. The time of the Milso Beketet Solon. But he says the discussion is found in the Periketet Solon. And the next Rashi, Afilu Pigul, says, Shepsula Gufu, even though Pigul is definitely a Psul in the Gufu of the Basar, nevertheless, Ton Ibutsur, you have to go and wait till the following morning until it becomes Nosa to go and burn it. So therefore, Reish Lakish says, there's no kashami. We find other psul haguf that you have to wait, such as pigul. So too, hesach hadas, you have to wait till the following morning. So Rav Yochanan's kasha from Yishmael ben Osher, Rav Yochanan Broka, falls off. Try again. Eitzvei, Rav Yochanan asks Reish Lakish again. What about the following brisa? The brisa says, nitma, if the basa became tome, o she nifsala basa, or the basa became pasul for some other reason, or the basa went yotze, it was outside the azara. We always use the term chutz l'kloim. These were the kloim, or the curtains of the Mishkan, and we use that same terminology even in the Beis HaMikdash when it goes outside the azara. So this is called the psul of chutz, of yotze. So therefore, in all of these situations, Rabbi Lezer Omi Yizrok, Rabbi Lezer says, despite the fact that the basa went outside, or the basa was tame, or the basa was nifsal, we'll see in a moment, is going to be hesech hadas, nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer says, Omer Yizrok, you're still allowed to go and do the Zrik on the Dam, because even though the Basa went outside, the Dam is still inside, and the fact that there's no Basa doesn't ruin it, you're still allowed to do the Zrik as Hadam. Rashi points out, Rulozul Taimei, Dam Abiketet Solin, also the Periketet Solin, Dam Haf Alpi She'en Basa. As long as you have the Dam that's still good, even though the Basa is no good, you're still allowed to do the Zrika. On the other hand, this famous Bar Plukta, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua throughout Shas are famous Bali Plukta, they're both Rabbeim and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Lo Yizrok, he says, no, if the Basar is not there, then you can't do the Zrika. And Rashi says, Rabbi Yeshua L'taymei, he also holds, Domei, main Basar, ain't done. If the Basar went out, if the Basar is no good, so then you can't do the Zrika. So he says, main Basar, ain't done. If the basar that was kachi kadoshim went outside the azara, shemechitza shalen chomas azara. Now let it go outside the azara. It has to be eaten within inside the olam moed, within inside the chotzer of the mishkan, or within inside the azara of the beis hamikdash. The imyotzes nifselis, and if it goes outside, there's a psul called yotze, as again the Gemara learns in Ketzat Solin. So this is a famous machlokus, Rabbi Elazar and Yeshua. Do you or do you not need to have kosher or basar available in order to do the Zrika? Rabbi Elazar says, no, you don't. Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, you do. Now, based upon this, Umode Rabbi Yeshua agrees, however, She'im Zorak, he says, L'chatchila, you shouldn't do the Zrika without the basar. But if the Kohen did the Zrika without the basar being present, Hurtza, nevertheless, the tzitz allows it to be Hurtza. The tzitz, the Kohen Gadol wore the tzitz on his forehead. So the tzitz is called meratza for various types of problems. And this is one of the problems that the tzitz is meratza for tumah. So you have the tumah over here of the basar, so that the tzitz can be meratza for. You can likewise have yotze, the tzitz can be meratza for yotze. And what about nifsal? What is this nifsal over here that the tzitz is meratza for? We said osha yotze chutzul klaim, and we said nitma, and it also said osha nifsal habasar. Now, my nifsal, what are we talking about here that the tzitz is meratza for nifsal? Isn't this nifsal lab the hesach hadas? Isn't this nifsal talking about a case of hesach hadas? And therefore, it shouldn't be good according to Reish Lakish. It should only be good according to me, Rav Yochanan says. Why is that? If you're telling me that Nifsal is just another question of Tumah, just like if it's Vade Tomei, or if it's maybe Tomei, we're not sure. Hesach Hadas, did it become Tomei? Did it not become Tomei? We weren't watching it. So therefore, it's a psul of potential Tumah. I understand. Hayav the Mishkachas law, the Meratzi Tzitz. Now I understand why the Tzitz is Meratzah, because the Tzitz can be Meratzah for Tumah. But according to you, Reish Lakish, that there's an intrinsic psul here called Hesach Hadas that has nothing to do with whether it did or did not become Tomei. It's a psul of Hesach Hadas. So then, how should the tzitz work? Am I hurtza tzitz, or don't have the word tzitz? Am I hurtza? How did it become misratza? The tzitz cannot work for an intrinsic type of a psul, and Hesach Hadas is an intrinsic type of psul. As Rashi says, "V'tzitz nami lo miratze ale." I my hurtza. If the tzitz can't do it, so then how did it become that Rabbi Yeshua says b'diavad? If you did the zrika, it would work. It must be because of the tzitz, but the tzitz can't be miratze for an intrinsic psul. Rashi also explains why the psul of chutz is able to be miratze by the tzitz, because that's also, one could argue, an intrinsic psul. So he says, no, that's not. He says, v'yotze apogav v'lo mahani le'tzitz. The Zrika nevertheless is good in this situation, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, b'di'evit. The Afagav, the Yeshua boy, Tarte, he says you normally need to have both Dam and Basar, Miu, Hoel v'Basar v'En. In the Psul of Yotze, the Basar is still there, and the Psul is just Yotze. It's nothing intrinsic to the Basar. Psul Yotze, Psul Machmas Dover Acherhu. It's called the psul of chitzaron mechitzos. The basar itself is good, and therefore, in this situation, it's able to be miratza also. So therefore, the question that Rav Yochanan asked the Reish Lakish is the psul of hesach hadas. If you're saying it's an intrinsic psul, so it has its miratza, and even b'di'evit, it shouldn't be good according to Rav Yoshua. So that's the question. Reish Lakish answers, no problem. My nifsal, no. Who says Nifsal is talking about the psul of Hesach Hadas? You're saying that. I disagree. I say the psul of Nifsal is also Tumah, and that's why the tzitz is Meratza. Nifsal b'tul yom. We're talking here that it became possible. Notice this language of possible. The tul yom touched it and made it possible, which is a form of Tumah, and therefore the tzitz is able to be Meratza. So therefore, this Nifsal is talking about just being touched by a tul yom, a person who had touched the sheretz, and he had went to the mikvah, and he's just waiting hair of Shemesh. So if he touches something, there's a tumah that's attached to it called tumas tvul yom. That, the tzitz, can be miratza. Yochanan says, so why do you need to tell me twice? You're telling me tomei and tomei. It said if it becomes tomei or if it's nivsal. So hainu tomei. So it's the same thing. So Reish Lakish says, no. Trei gavni tomei. No, there are two different levels of tumah over here. One is an actual tumah, and one is touching by a tvul yom. So it needed to tell me both. If it only told me one, so then I would think it only applies to the lesser one, the tvul yom, and it wouldn't apply to a regular tumah. So therefore, he needs to tell me both. So again, Reish Lakish is okay. Rav Yochanan's question falls aside. Now, so the bottom line after all of this is that the reason Rav Sheshis had said, Rava Bar Masna had said that he learned from Rav Sheshis the reason why when you plant truma, the tumah goes away, but the Hesach Hadas, that psul doesn't go away. That's why a Kohen can't eat it. It's based upon this opinion of Reish Lakish. When this memra that Reish Lakish had said over, that Rava Bar Masna said over the memra in the name of Rav Sheshis, saying it's going according to Reish Lakish, so when this was said over, Kisolik Ravin, when Ravin left Babel to go to Eretz Yisrael, so Amr l'shmaisei commanded Rav Yirmiyah. He said over this entire discussion, the shock of attire that we had this morning so far, he said this over to Rav Yirmiyah. And Rav Yirmiyah, throughout Shas, is famous for saying this. Amr Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah said, Mavloi tibshoi, these foolish Babylonians, mishum de'yasvei be'ara de'chashucha, because they live in a dark land. Babel is a low-lying land, so it's called a dark land. And they live in this darkness, so Amrisun Shmaisis or the Mechashu. Therefore, they have to say things that are dark. In other words, this is an incorrect pshat. It doesn't make any sense. So Rashi says, when they don't know the answer, Kishen Yodum Tamo, Shodavar, when they don't know the reason behind something, Bodim Elibam, they make up their own answer. Tam Sheno, they make up an incorrect answer. And he says, Asu de Mechashcha, why is Babel called this land of darkness? Because Babel Amuka, it's a low lying land, and therefore, it's in an emek, it's in a valley, and therefore it doesn't get a lot of light. So what was he finding wrong with this teretz? It sounded like it was a good teretz that Rav Sheshis had said to explain why a Kohen can't eat this because of Hesach Hadas, why he can't eat the Truma that was planted in the ground, even though the Truma left, it still has the intrinsic psul of Hesach Hadas. So he said, didn't they hear, Lo Shmir L'cho, didn't Rav Sheshis, didn't the people in Babel hear, Hadar B'Shim Ben Lakish, B'Shmei the Rabbi Yoshaya, a different statement the Reish Lakish had made in the name of Rav Yoshaya. What was that? Mei Hechog, if you have the waters on Sukkos, and Sukkos we go, and we put water libations on the Mizbeach. So the Mehachag, the water that was used on Sukkos to be put onto the Mizbeach, Shinitmu, it became Tomei. So, Heishikon, if they did Hashaka, Hashaka is when you take Tomei water, and you connect it to a mikvah, a kosher mikvah of Mayim, has the ability to resuscitate this water, to make this water no longer Tomei. It's a unique din called Hashaka that applies only to liquids. It doesn't apply to other types of things. It applies specifically to water. So Heishikon, if you did Hashaka, and only afterwards, V'achakachikdishon, the water was not yet holy. When you did the Hashaka, the water became Tomei, and you hadn't yet made it Kodesh, you made it tar by doing Hashaka, and then you were makdish it taharin. It's able to be used for the nisuch hamayim on Sukkos, on Chag. Chag always means Sukkos. Now, if, in fact, Hikdishon, if it was first, however, made holy, and then you did, it was Tomei, and then you did Hashaka, Hikdishon, the achakach hishikon, so then it doesn't work. Tomei, this water can't be used for nisuch hamayim. Now, let's understand this. Michtei. Zuriya ninu. This Hashaka is like planting. It's no different than the planting of Truma. In fact, that's why it's often called Zuriya. It's called this planting and in the mikvah. It's the Hashaka, literally the kissing, the touching over here of the water that's tummy into the mikvah is like a Zuriya of the water into the mikvah. Now, what do we say over here? Zuriya. Mali Heshikon, what should it make a difference if you did the Hashaka V'achakach Hikdishon and then you made it Kodesh, or Mali Hikdishon, if it was first was Kodesh V'achakach Hishikon and then you did the subsequent Tahara process? Why should it make a difference? Rav Hoshaya said that it makes a difference which one you did first. If it was Hekdish first, then the Zriya doesn't work. The Hashaka doesn't work. It's only if it wasn't Hekdish that the Hashaka, the Zriya works. How come? What do you see? Alma Ein Zriya L'Hekdish. You know what you see from here? That there's an additional rabbinical stringency that the rabbis instituted, that once something is hektish, zriya doesn't work. So too, hochanami, the zriya, the planting of the truma tmeya in the ground, ain zriya l'truma. It's an additional rabbinical stringency over here that once it's tameh, we don't let it become tahora, even though you planted it in the ground, which normally would remove the tumah status, but the rabbis added an additional stringency when you're dealing with truma, just like they did an additional stringency when they're dealing with the mehachag. So if it was already kadosh, you don't have the zriya of the mehachag working. The hashaka doesn't work. So too, if the truma is already tameya, by truma, we don't allow this shisala, this planting it, this zriya, to go and work. That's the reason why. If you go and plant Truma Tmeya, the Kohanim can't eat it. You don't have to give us this whole teretz that Rav Sheshis said in the name of Reish Lakish, the whole idea of Hesach Hadas. No, just simple. Say what Reish Lakish said in the name of Roshaya, that there's an additional stringency when it comes to various Kedusha items. Just like the Mechag, so too the Truma Tmeya. There is no Zriya. Now, Yosef Rav Dimi, V'karma Loha, Loha Shmaisa. Rav Dimi said over this Vart, and he said it over in front of Abaye. And Abaye says, only Abaye. Hikdishon b'chli kamar. He asked him, when Rav Hoshaya said his din, that the mechag that become tamei, it doesn't work with Hashaka. If the Kedusha was first there, so then Hashaka doesn't work. So how did that Kedusha get there, Abaye asks. Hikdishon b'chli kamar, that you made the mechag by putting into klisharis, and therefore that gave it Kedusha. Only in that situation does the Hashaka no longer work. But if the person had just made a kedusha bepeh, avol bepeh, lo avi rabbanon milo. The rabbis didn't create the stringency when the kedusha was just by verbalization of this water will be for the mehachag. Maybe he's asking they only said this stringency that you can't do the hashaka, you can't do the zriya. If the mehachag were hektish, it's only if it became hektish via a maisa with putting into a klisharis. But if you just did a verbalization of the kedusha, said this is going to be kadosh as mehachag, so then there is no such stringency, and if it became Tomei, you could do Ashoka, you could do Zriya, or maybe not. Even if the Kedusha only came about via verbalization, this will be Mechag, that's enough to also still make it that if it became Tomei, you can't do Zriya. That's Abaye's question. How far did the rabbis go to make this stringency? Was it only for a Kli Shari's Kedusha, or even for a verbalization Kedusha of the Beichag? That's the question that Abaye asked Rav Dibi. So Amalei, Rav Dibi says, Zulu Shemati, this I didn't hear the answer to. However, I heard something similar to a Kayot Zulu Shemati. And that's the following. What did I hear? The Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abo said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Anovim Shenitmu. If you have grapes that became Tomei, we'll see in a moment how and when they became Tomei. So the grapes are Tomei. Derochon, and now you squeezed out the juice from the grapes, you pressed the grapes, and only afterwards the grape juice came out. Now you made the grape juice kadosh. So the grape juice is going to still be able to be used on the Mizbeach, Tahorim. You're allowed to go and use this grape juice and use it for Nisuch Hayayin. You're allowed to go and use this for the libations that require wine on the Mizbeach. That's if you only made it kadosh after the grape juice came out. Hikdishon, however, if you made the grapes kodesh themselves, and they then became tamei, v'achakach drochon, and now you pressed it after the grapes already were kadosh, then it's too late, tameim. Then the grape juice that comes out is also considered tamei, like the grapes, and you're not allowed to go and use this on nisuch hayayin. Now, we learned in yesterday's shir that there was a machlokis. Do we say mifka pkide, or we say mivla bli? Do we say that we view the grape juice inside the grape as being inside a separate container, or is it an intrinsic part of the grape? So this is Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan Lishitasa, who said yesterday that we view the grape juice as mifka pkide, that it was considered like in a separate container inside the grapes, and therefore, if you only made it kadosh afterwards, there's no reason over here to make an additional stringency by the rabbis. And therefore the juice can be used. But, hikdisha v'achakach drochen, if you first made the grapes kadosh, so the juice inside of them, now we go and are adding a stringency to say it's mivla bli. Here, we say that we view the juice as if it's part of the grape already. And therefore, this stringency is present and tmeyin, and they're tamei. Now, Rav Dimi says, why is this comparable to what you just asked me, Abayi? How did the grapes become kadosh? They didn't get put into a Kli Shareis. The person must have verbalized and said, these grapes should be kadosh. And yet we see that the rabbis made such a stringency. They made this additional stringency. So mistama, in your case as well, not only do the waters get, when they put into a Kli Shareis, do the rabbis give this stringency that you can't do the Zriya? But even if they just verbalized and said that this Meichak should have Kedusha to be for the Nisuch Hamayim, so it already has the Kedusha, even if you just verbalized it. That's what Rav Dimi wanted to suggest to Abaye, that the answer is that whether it's in a Kli Shareis or even just verbalized, the rabbis gave it this stringency. On the other hand, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef said, Anovim Kamis? You bring me your raya from the Anovim? No. Hocha b'Anovim shol Trumaskinen. That case that Rav Yochanan brought was based upon anovim that were truma. Now, with anovim that were truma, the kedushas ped, the two kedushas kli dami. There is no concept of kedushas kli by truma. It's just kedushas ped. There's only one level of kedusha when it comes to truma. Avohane, the boy kli. But when you're dealing over here with the meichak, which does ultimately require being put into a kli shareis, there is another step. It has to be put into a kli shareis. You have to do the nisuch hamayim from a kli shareis. The wine has to have nisuch hayayin from a Kli Shareis. Maybe in this situation that the rabbis only introduced the maigla only when it went into the Kli Shareis. However, bepeh, lo avod rabbanan maigla. Maybe the rabbis didn't make a maigla when it came to dealing with just kedushas peh. And therefore, Abaye's question, Rav Yosef says, isn't answered the way Rav Dimi said by comparing it to the grape situation that Rav Yochanan had spoken about. Now, the Gemara says, durochon vafilu tuva. When this was brought down by Rabbi Avoh, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't imply any limitations like we had in yesterday's share on the amount of grapes that are being pressed over here. He just said, Durochon, v'achakachitishon, tahorim. Now, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? Afilu tuva, even a larger amount than a kibetza? Umiya Rabbi Yochanan achi. Rabbi Yochanan never said that it could work for more than a kibetza. Of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we said in yesterday's share, anovim shenitmu, if the grapes became tame, you have to be very careful that you only press them, darchon, Pachos mi kibetza. That was the end of the shiur yesterday. That bedafka, we have to be concerned that you don't have a kibetza. If you have a kibetza, then it could transmit the tumah. And even if you say mivkat kidei, it could transmit it. So how can you tell me over here, derochem yachakach ekdeshon seems to apply even more than a kibetza? So Gemara gives two teirutz. The first one is it's less than a kibetza. Ibai yisema hachanami pachas pachas b'kibetza. Where does it say anything about the amount over here? It just says derach b'achakachakdeishan, and it means, of course, that you have to do this with a pachas b'kibetza. That's teretz number one, straightforward. Teretz number two, the ibai yisema. Alternatively, you could say hasam delo denagu luhu berishon. That case from yesterday, that you're not allowed to go and be dorich it if it's more than a kibetza. How did it become tame? There, the grapes came into contact with the Adam who was a Rishon. The Adam was a Rishon, makes the grapes into a Sheni. The grapes then can make the juice into a Shlishi. In Truma, there is a Shlishi. So therefore, the Habalu inu Sheni, the grapes themselves are a Sheni. And when the juice comes out from them, they have the ability to make it into a Shlishi. But today, we're talking about Hocha denagu b'Sheni. The grapes only became Tomei by coming into contact with a person who was a Sheni. And therefore the grapes become a Shlishi. Davalul Shlishi. And the Shlishi can't go and make something revived by Truma. And therefore there is no concern. You can even do it with more than a kibetza's worth. So now we've introduced this idea that there is this additional stringency that comes into play under certain situations when you're dealing with Hekdesh or Truma. So we'll give several other situations and we'll reach Mitzvah Shem the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Rava says, I also learned that we have find this Mila that the rabbis gave to various things in regarding Hekdesh or Truma. Because the Pasuk says, V'no'asano of Mayim Chayim O'Keli, when you're making the Paraduma, so you have to take this Mayim Chayim, this well water, this spring water that comes and put it into the kli. So in this situation, shetei chiyusun b'kli, it must come directly into the kli from the well. You can't go put it into another container. However, the words v'nasan implies that you do put it into another container. Amatulushin ninu. So which one is it? V'hamichu baran ninu. But it says that it has to be from the spring. V'nasan alav mayim chayim el keli. So which one is it? You seem to have a contradiction in the pasuk. We turn to the Yomad Aleph, Lamed Hei Yomad Aleph. Ella Mila. This is talking about over here a Mila, that on a Torah level, you actually could go and put it into another Kli, and then put that other, the water now in the other Kli, into the Kli that you'll eventually put the ashes of the Paraduma into. So, only Midrabana, it's a Mila. Nosan has to be directly. So, Hochanami Mila. So, you see that the rabbis make a Mila in regards to Kachim, in regards to the Mechata, so too, they made a Mila in regards to the Truma, that we don't allow you to plant it in the ground and lose its Truma Tmeya status. So that's an example, again, of the Rabbanan stringency that the rabbis instituted in regards to either Kachim, the Mechatas, or the Truma. We see another one. Amar Rav Shimi Barashi. Rav Shimi Barashi says, Afanan Namitina. I also learned such a similar idea in the following Mishnah in the Goyim. And so Sashas has also found the Nida and Yevamos as well. And he says, Af anana mitinina. We learned over there in the Mishnah, Tovavi Ola Ochel Mamaisa, if a Metzora, who after his 7 days of preparations to become Tor, goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, and he comes out of the mikvah, he hasn't had Harav Shemesh yet, but he is Tor now to eat Maisa Sheni while he's just waiting for nightfall to come. Once nightfall comes, Harav Shemesh, so now Ochel Betruma, he's allowed to go and eat Truma. Now, he still is not allowed to eat kachim yet, betruma in, bekachim lo. Now this is a chumrah that the rabbis instituted over here. He's tar, why shouldn't he be able to eat kachim? Am I tar hu? Elo. What? Mala. So this is a mila that the rabbis made for kachim, more so than by truma or by maaseh sheni. So too we see this concept, tochanami mila, in regards to the truma that's planted in the ground. It's a mila that the rabbis instituted over here, a dirabanan, that a kohen who is normally able to eat truma cannot eat this truma that was tamei, that was planted into the ground, that lost its tumah status, but it's a mila that the rabbis made. Finally, the last and third and final example is Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, I also, afanan nami tanina. I also learned it, because it says it a different price, v'habosar. Now this pasuk is referring to the basar shlomim. The pasuk says that a tamei person, if somebody was tamei and touched this meat, v'basar shi gabuchol tamei, this basar lo ye'ochel, you're not allowed to eat this meat. And it says, bo'eshi sarev v'habosar, and you shall go and burn it in the fire. And it says, v'habosar, the next revolver, Rashi says, this comes to teach us to be marba. So what do we need this extra word, v'habosar, here for? So the Gemara comes to tell us, Rashi teaches us, l'rabo says, so eitzim u'levona, that included in this is something that normally can't be makabel tumah. Eitzim and levona are not ochel, they're not kalim, they normally wouldn't be able to be makabel tumah. Yet, because of chibas hakodesh, we said that they are capable of being makabel tumah. So that's what the Gemara says. Eitzim u'levona, b'nei itamuye ninu.
Lashon Bismia, Rashi says, high level ochel, they're not ochel, and therefore they shouldn't be able to be mekabel tumah. Ella, what do we see? Ella Mila. There's a Mila over here that they are capable of mekabel tumah. So this is another example of where we have a Mila by Kochim, so too. Hochanami Mila, Ravashi says, so too do we have a Mila in regards to the truma that was planted, the truma tamed that was planted, even though it's technically now tar, there's a Mila, there's an extra stringency that the rabbis instituted that a Kohen should not go and eat it, even though it's no longer tameh. With this, we conclude today's share.